Madagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi and welcome to King's Kids. Today, Tony continues from last week and brings us more insights into Aboriginal spirituality.
I want to talk about how Aboriginal people are so susceptible to hearing and seeing demonic spirits. When my little girl Jessica, she was about 4 years old, and we lived in Mount Druitt, and I was actually working night shift at Arnott's Biscuits. And coming home, you know, late, about 2 a.m. in the morning, my wife always used to let me sleep in and try to keep the kids quiet. And my little girl, she came up into the bedroom and she saw this demonic spirit. See, demonic spirit takes all shapes and forms. They're not ugly, hideous things. They can change their appearances. And she went up to Olwa and said to her mother, she said, "Who's that little girl laying on the bed with Dad?" And Mum said, "There's nobody up there with Dad." She said, "Come look, I'll show you." And then when they came up into the bedroom, I was sound asleep and snoring, and snoring pretty badly, I might add. I didn't have my sleep apnea treated at the time. And there was a little girl laying on the bed next to me. As my wife approached it, it just disappeared. And then it was only a few days later, our little girl, she woke up screaming, because she got up to go to the toilet, and she had a bad dream at first that she saw some demonic spirits or something like that. But then when she got up to go to the toilet, there was a little man in the hallway with a knife, like a midget. She just called it a little man, but it was another demonic spirit. And then I was sitting in the lounge room watching TV after finishing a late shift, just trying to wind down before I went to bed. And then things started falling around like in the house, and loud bangs, and the ironing board fell over, and there was nobody in the house except everybody was asleep. And when I got up, all I could do was pray, because there was a demonic spirit in the house. And one of the things that you normally do, what I do, is I move into a house or stay in a motel or go somewhere new and stay in somebody else's house. I always pray, because you don't know what was left behind from other people. My daughter, years later, she had a talent for dancing, and she was spotted and singled out to go and join an Aboriginal dance company in Sydney. And she went there. And she was in good health. She was a personal trainer, fight and fit. You know, she was a kickboxer. She was at the top of her game fitness-wise. And dancing all day, you know, like, can only be even fitter. But because they did a lot of contemporary dances and choreographed dances, but a lot of the Aboriginal dances. And my daughter was there for 3 months. And because I wasn't as close to her as I am now, she used to ring her mother and say to her mother she can't sleep at night because she can see the demon spirits, especially when they're dancing and after they finish in the building, in the dorm where they were sleeping. Anyway, whether it was because of lack of sleep or whether she felt that the dancers and the spirits from the dancing, the demon spirits or the Dreamtime spirits, as she called them, were affecting her health. And she got to the point where I talked about dream timing stuff, pointing the bone and that, when people can give up the ghost and just lay down and die. Well, my daughter was about, I reckon, maybe 2 weeks off dying. She just couldn't cope. She couldn't eat. You know, she faded away to nothing. Anyway, she rang her mother up, and I just happened to be in Sydney, and I was bringing a trailer back. And her mother rang me. She said, "You better go and check on her." So when I got there and checked on her, there was a lot of spirits there too, because it was a former kids' jail, and it was part of the jail. The jail was still there, but it was a part of the section of the jail. Anyway, I went there. I took one look at her. I just gave her a hug and she said, "Dad, take me out of here. Take me home, take me anywhere." And her mum was living in Port Macquarie, so I just packed up her stuff, put it in the trailer, and went and spoke to the coordinator of the dance trip. And, you know, it was very hard for her to leave because they get thousands of applications, but they only select about 20 or 30 people every year to be part of this dance trip. And it was the Aboriginal Dreamtime dancers that was killing her. Anyway, I brought her home. I prayed for her. Her mother prayed over her. And within 3 months, she was restored back to health. I'm reminded of another Aboriginal woman. Her name was Nikki, and she moved into a rental, and she had all these dream catchers and stuff like that, and Halloween things hanging on the wall. And her kids couldn't sleep. They wouldn't go into the bathroom, and she had two little kids and a baby. Anyway, I said, I'll pray for you and I'll pray for the place. But I went and got the pastor of the church and he came with me. We found 19 demonic spirits living in that house. We got rid of the dream catchers and got rid of all the other satanic stuff she had in the house. That was an unbelievable experience. People go through these things all the time. In fact, only the other day, I got a phone call from a woman in this town where we live. They don't want to go and stay in the house. They're renting because there's a spirit in the house. They think it's friendly. It's not Casper the ghost, I can tell you that. It's not the Casper the friendly ghost. It's a demonic spirit. If it ain't an angelic spirit, then it's a demonic spirit. They rang me up and they said, we know you're a pastor. We know you know about these things. What can we do? Well, I said, you got two choices. I can come down, cleanse the house, pray through it, and get rid of the spirit. But she said, I might want to keep it a bit longer. I said, why is that? She said, because my daughter's boyfriend, he won't come here while he thinks the spirit's there. And she said, there might be a good thing to hang on to it for a while to keep him away. And you see, we make choices. You know, I said to her, I can always get rid of it. You don't have to tell him it's gone, but it's up to you. And they thought, well, we'll get back to you. And we're just waiting and waiting and waiting. You can't force people to give up their demonic spirits. You know, people invite them in through rock music. They invite them through with certain DVDs they watch. And you can get it by receiving DVDs and books from other people. In fact, somebody came to my house the other day and left me some books, and as soon as they went, the demonic spirits were there. I had a friend that, you know, especially in this town we live in, it's full of Eastern religion. There's a Buddha on nearly every corner. People think they're good to have around, but they don't realize they come with demonic spirits. And I know for a fact that the very first time I went out in ministry as a Christian to deal with demonic spirits, and they prey on people with disabilities. And this lady was deaf, and she was probably in her 40s. This demonic spirit only manifested when she was naked in the bathroom, and she used to horrify. So I had to take an interpreter with me to speak to her, to pray through the house, to get rid of the demonic spirit. And then I had to locate the source of it. No good asking the spirit to leave if you leave the Buddhas or whatever else there. And I did that. I got rid of them. And over 30 years, I've been in constant battle. Not every week, not every day. But over 30 years, I've been in spiritual warfare. And you know what? All Christians should be in spiritual warfare. They should be prayed up. I don't even leave the house these days without praying the Psalm 91 over me and my family, over Rema Radio, over all the volunteer staff, over King's Kids Ministry. And it's important to pray Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. Put on the whole armour of God. You know, when you're in warfare, when you go away in the army, now these days they get bulletproof vests. You know, they get all the gear. You wouldn't go into battle without it if you was in Iraq or whether you was in Afghanistan. You wouldn't leave the post without putting on the armor and going out on patrol. Now, we're in a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle. When God has provided things like prayers of protection, like Ephesians 6 to 10, why would you want to leave the house without putting on the armor of God? Why would you not want to get up and pray the prayers of protection over you and your family before you leave the house? Isn't it better to be prepared at the start of the day than to think at the end of the day when you've had your brains kicked in? I'm reminded of a story the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, and this is to the extreme. I've only ever come across this once. I met a woman once, and I ministered to her. She was a single mum. She came into our family's life because she was homeless, and I picked her up and her little four-year-old girl on the street on the way home from Arnott's one night, and I took her home, woke the wife up, We gave them a bed, kept them there for 2 weeks and put her in a flat. That's what Christians do, you help people. And anyway, this woman, I've been ministering the word of God to her for a while. Me and a senior pastor who's an evangelist now, he's over in Taiwan. And he was involved with a Christian school in Mount Druitt. And I had concerns about this woman because she got up and shared a testimony about demonic spirits possessing her. Anyway, we went to visit her in her home, and I didn't want to go on my own, so two of us went. And we could hear all this ruckus going on in the house. When we finally got let in, she had bruising, claw marks, and she swears to this day that a demonic spirit had sex with her. The proof was, though, I guess, in the fact that she had bruising, she had scratch marks on her, and she was the only one in the house. We're living in an age where lawlessness and darkness is overtaking the world. And we're living in the last days and things are only going to get worse. So I encourage you to put on the full armour of God. Pray Psalm 91 over you and your loved ones and your family every day.
No disaster will come there near your Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he knows my name. He will call on me and I will answer. I will be with him always and I will honor him. With a long, long, long life, I will satisfy him with long. With a long, long, long life, I will show him my salvation. With a long, long, eternal life, I will satisfy him with long life. With a long,
I recently went to stay with a friend, and you know, some people like to have the lights out all the time, just the TV going, and me and I'm watching my beloved South Sydney play, and you know, and I was over the moon. Anyway, because I do a lot of ministry by phone, I went out to the car to pray for people on the phone that I pray for regularly with, and then I come in late. He come out and he said, "I'm going to go to bed. I'll leave the door unlocked." Then when I came in, he was still in the kitchen, and the light was on for the first time, and I noticed there were three or four, you know, Fijian Isle and death masks on the place. I also noticed there was a few little Buddhas in the place. And he said to me before he went to bed, he said, "I don't know what it is. I feel so uneasy. I feel so unrestless, and I just can't put my finger on it." And I said, "Dave, let me tell you this." I said, "I'm happy to spend the night at your place, but I'm pretty sure your demonic spirits that are living here with you, they're not really happy at all." And there was lots of spirits, because see, his girlfriend actually committed suicide in the place. So there was a spirit of suicide over the place. And those death masks, they all coincide with each other. And that little fat Buddha sitting next to the television, you know, I didn't want to rub him on the belly. I wanted to kick him out of the house. And you see, because I have power and authority to do that, but because they was invited in, I didn't have that authority to kick them out. So I said to Dave, "We got two choices, brother. I can either get rid of them altogether with your permission, or you can go to bed and let me deal with them." And he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'll deal with them." So he went into his room and closed the door, and I spoke to every foul spirit in the place. I said, "I don't have the authority to throw you out, but I have authority to tell you to shut up, be quiet, be still, don't annoy me. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and you'll just sit there and behave yourself until I leave." And you know what? I slept like a baby. They didn't bother me. They didn't bother Davo. And I explained it to him the next morning before I left. And by the time I got home, I got a phone call. He said, "Those demonic spirits must have played up like a second-hand lawnmower when I left." And, you know, and he just felt so uneasy. He rang me up and he said, "Next time you come over, can you do me a favor?" He said, "Get rid of all the demonic things in my house and get rid of them spirits. I don't want them back." You see, he was happy to live with them when he didn't know they was there. He was happy to live with them when he didn't know these things came with the things that were given to him or that he bought. I had a religious organization come visit me this week. I'm not going to name them, because they're good people. God loves the people. He doesn't love the organization, because it doesn't matter. Anyway, I let these people into my house and we got talking. And then I was really impressed with their sincerity. And they asked me, could they leave me some material? And they did. And after they'd gone, I'd noticed there were some demonic spirits in the house. So I decided to get rid of them. I didn't want to keep them. I didn't want any pets. So I just prayed, asked the Lord, spoke to them, got rid of them. Then I invited these people back the next day. So being a man of power and authority, because I have all power and authority given to me by Jesus Christ, I prayed before they got there and I said, "Now, Lord, I want my angels to stand at the front gate and stop these demonic spirits coming in with these people. They come in, they can leave them at the front gate. And all materials that they leave behind will be clean of demonic spirits." The Lord said to me, "What do you want me to do with them when I leave them at the gate?" I said, "They can play with the Buddhas across the street." When these people came into my house, the spirits stayed at the gate. Well, they went across the road and probably played with the Buddhas. Who knows? Who cares? The main thing was they didn't come into my home.
The Bible tells us that angels and demons are real. Just because we don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. In Ephesians 6, the Bible says that we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it goes on in verse 7 to tell us to put on the whole armour of God that we may be able to stand against Satan's onslaught. It's good to know that we don't stand alone when demonic forces come to attack us. God has given us the means to withstand Satan and his host of fallen angels, and all we need to do is put that armour on. Just read Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 18. Tony and I will be back. That was funny. Tony and I will be back next week at the same time to share more of God's blessings from Tony's experiences as an Aboriginal evangelist. You can contact Tony by ringing him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. And you can also go to the King's Kids website at kingskidsministries.org, where you'll be able to listen to any of Tony's messages and keep up to date on what's happening at King's Kids Ministries. I'm Heidi, and thanks for listening. We appreciate your company. Bye now, until next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.